And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's 4 minutes past nine on this Thursday. It is the 6th of June. How are you all keeping out there across the Northwest and wherever you're listening to us from? Welcome on board for another 3 hours on the 9 till noon train. And we've got loads to keep you informed and entertained. We're going to have the No Barriers crew in studio very shortly. They had a very positive announcement yesterday from Minister Anne Rabbitt, which she flagged to some extent on the programme yesterday morning. That and so much more besides. If you want to comment on anything, maybe there's an issue in your area or something you believe we should be discussing, please get in touch with us, 086 60 25000. That's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000. Or if you want to give us a call, that number for you is 07491 25000. Feel free to comment on our social media, wherever you happen to use, or even if you're watching us. And just to remind you, we're streaming live right now on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, and that means you can cast us up onto your smart screen TV or your Fire Stick. You have the YouTube app on both of those, so if you're at home and it suits you, you can whack us on. And also too, by the way, just to remind you that obviously, primarily, we're a radio station and we're broadcasting right across the region over the weekend. But if it suits you when you're at home at the weekend to watch our coverage from the election centres, and we're going to be in all of them, then of course YouTube is the place to go there, Highland Radio Ireland. We're on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, on the X platform, Highland Radio Donegal. And there's a watch live button too on our website. So that's for today's show, but also for all our election coverage over the weekend. Shall I give you a recap of what we're doing? Obviously, there's a moratorium kicks in at 2:30. It's crazy in 2024. Why is there a broadcast moratorium? And I can go onto Facebook and say whatever I like, or onto X and say whatever I like, or do a live stream on YouTube and talk about elections till I'm blue in the face. But for some reason, still in 2024, there is a moratorium that kicks in at 2:30, I think, today, or 2:00, in and around that time. And that is in place then throughout all of Friday. On Saturday, we're broadcasting live from the Aura in Letterkenny. That's where, on Saturday, the votes are all taken from all the various polling stations that you'll be visiting on Friday, and they're sorted out. So we'll be broadcasting from early morning there, and we're going to be chatting to all of our teams who'll be covering the various counts around the region, talking about, you know, who's running, what seats are available, all that type of stuff. And then we will hopefully be able to, we will be bringing you tallies then as the day progresses. And we have a panel, by the way, between 12 and 3. And whilst we're talking, the Bunkrana North and South Inishowen boxes will be opened. We'll start get tallies. We'll start hearing how, I don't know, your favourite party doing. How are Sinn Féin candidates doing? How's the 100% redress crowd doing? How is Fianna Fáil Fine Gael doing? You know, how are independents doing? We'll start get trends really quite early and bring them to you. That is throughout Saturday, right? So we get nothing on Saturday, but we get some strong indications of how things are going across the various areas. Then on Sunday, our teams spread out to the various count centres. We're in the Finn Valley, Donegal Town, Glenties, Inishowen and Letterkenny. And we will keep you literally up to date, wall to wall, throughout the day, not just on the radio, but you'll be able to watch that too as we go from each count centre. All are equal in my eyes, okay? So the show will be sort of based out of Letterkenny, but we've all the teams and all the resources in every area of the county to give them equal coverage and status, because that's the view. So there's no excuse. If you want to know what's happening in elections right across the county and you want to watch it, you want to listen to it, we've got you covered here on Highland Radio. And our teams will also be updating on our socials as well. You know, some colour stuff, pictures and latest news and information as well. So we have you covered right across the board. And we have a brilliant team in place. And we just really hope that you, if you have even just a passing interest in politics, that you stick with us here on Highland Radio. The Chicconnell Tribune this morning: as the final preparations are put in place for polling day on Friday, there is growing speculation this week that a number of seats may change hands over the weekend. There is substantial increase in the number on the register, with 142,000 plus eligible to vote in Donegal. The tally figures for 2019 indicated the electorate at 132,000. The 267 ballot boxes will be opened in the Oireachtas Leisure Centre, Letterkenny, on Saturday at 9 a.m. for scrutiny, verification and separation of the local and EU ballot papers. That process is likely to continue for the rest of the day, and the first count will begin on Sunday at 9 a.m. And there's lots of analysis and speculation in the Tyrconnell Tribune today. It could be a slow enough process on Saturday too, I wonder, because there is an awful lot of candidates. That'll be could be a relatively slow process. They've got a great team, though. The council have a great team in place to count out the ballots and what have you. The Donegal news this morning: firefighters are breaking their silence for the first time over the challenges they face when struggling to navigate through traffic congestion in Letterkenny. Implying that the road chaos might lead to a tragedy, firefighter Conor McGuigan told the Donegal News, "It's all right until it's not all right, and then they'll be asking questions." That's a really interesting quote from firefighter Conor McGuigan. This is in relation to traffic congestion on the four lanes and emergency services trying to get to the scene of a fire. "It's all right until it's not right, and then they'll be asking questions." In other words, God forbid, I presume, and I'm reading into his language there. If there is a delay and if there is a tragedy, then do we see an investigation? Then do we see a report? So that's what I'm reading from his comments. Mr. McGuigan was recently elected chair of the Donegal Firefighters Association, representing the interests of retained fire service personnel at 15 stations in Donegal. "We experience the traffic problems all the time. There wasn't much thought given from an emergency services point of view when the current Letterkenny Road system was being designed," according to the top firefighter. A very interesting intervention there from Mr. McGuigan. The Derry News this morning: a Derry father has raised concerns about children and young adults accessing vape oils that could be laced with spice. Spice is a synthetic drug which can be contained in THC or cannabis oil. The concerned father, Sean, has reported that his 16-year-old daughter was hospitalised last week, having taken multiple seizures as a result of inhaling the vapours produced by these oils. Unfortunately, too, we have seen situations in this county, and it is just the one reason of teenagers collapsing, having seizures, having been vaping as well. On to the Irish Times this morning, and some restricted breeds of dog could be banned in Ireland if a group reviewing dog controls recommends the government to do so, a minister has said, following the death of a young woman in County Limerick. And this is just the most heartbreaking of stories. Poor Nicole Morey, just 23 years of age. Minister for Rural and Community Development, Heather Humphreys, has asked the stakeholder group to prioritise the issue of restricted breeds following the death of the 23-year-old at her house at Ballyneety in the early hours of yesterday after being mauled by at least one of her own dogs. An armed Garda responded to the house shortly before midnight on Tuesday, and on encountering a number of aggressive dogs, they destroyed one and restrained three more. It was suspected that one or all of the dogs were in a restricted dog breeding list that requires them to be muzzled. Locals say the dog at the centre of the attack is understood to be an XL bully. It's a large version of an American pit bull. And an XL bully is not really a breed as such. It's a type of dog. It's multiple breeds interlaced. And that, of course, is bad breeding. And those dogs actually don't have fantastic lives because they have an awful lot of health issues. But we're not obviously later going to be talking about those tragic events specifically, but we are going to be talking about these dangerous dogs more generally. There's over 400 people a year attacked by dogs in Ireland. Many of them, not all, are because of dangerous breeds. What do you think we as a country should be doing? I'm not sure really banning breeds makes any difference. Maybe it makes us feel like we're doing something, because we ban an awful lot of stuff. You know, we ban people from driving, they don't surrender their licenses. You know, we ban people from driving without insurance, they still drive without insurance. Is there something more meaningful that we can do, do you think, than just ban certain breeds? Or maybe you think that that is effective? There was when the list was first introduced of restricted dog breeds, maybe that did have an impact, I don't know. But what do you think we can do to best protect people? Let us know, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 0749 1 25,000. What do you think we as a country should be doing, if anything? Let us know what you think, please. Let me see. If you're on a tracker mortgage, something could be some good news for you today. The move by the European Central Bank to cut its key lending rate this week could be followed by two more reductions before the end of the year. A majority of 82 economists polled by a news agency Reuters have predicted two further reductions, one in September and one in December. This is a sharp pullback from six expected at the start of the year. Today's reduction, which will see rates falling from a 22-year high, will affect tracker mortgage holders next month. There are 800,000 customers with tracker mortgages in Ireland, which represents around a quarter of the mortgage market. Every cut of 0.25 points will knock off €15 off the monthly repayments on a typical tracker. Most of those on trackers will owe around 100,000 and have around 15 years to pay. So by the end of the year, you could be paying €45 less per month. For those on variable mortgages that aren't trackers, it remains to be seen. The banks can be slow to bring them down. In fairness, a lot of the banks were slow to increase them. So there might not be much room for them to come back down. I don't know, but we shall see. But just in case you are on a tracker mortgage, a little bit of good news for you this morning. The Irish Daily Mail: a blistering row has broken out in the coalition on the eve of the elections, with calls from within the parties to rule out entering government together again, which is a ridiculous request, because we're the electorate, we're not stupid. Do you know, we know what the numbers are. We know that... we know that there's going to have to be some sort of a coalition between Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, and Fianna Fáil, and possibly the Greens, and then others. That's just the way it works. No party in a general election is going to have enough without having to get into bed, in inverted commas, with now, there was, I think, maybe a couple of years ago, possibly, if Sinn Féin ran the right around amount of candidates and their support was where it was, potentially they could have put together or cobbled together a government with others. But I don't think that's possible politically now at the moment. So for parties to come out and say they won't coalesce with another at this point is silly. I mean, I understand Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. They can pretty much say that, or certainly Fine Gael can. But I think it would be stupid to expect all of them to say they're not going into government with another party, because they're going to have to effectively to form a government. But with European and local elections polls tomorrow, long-standing tensions over green policies are emerging once again. Fianna Fáil TD James O'Connor has called on his party to make a pledge that it will not partner with the Greens again. What do you think about that? Maybe that's a vote winner. Maybe, you know, Fianna Fáil have huge support right across the country, whether people like it or not, and people will traditionally vote Fianna Fáil. And maybe if they say that they're not going back in with the Greens, maybe Fianna Fáil farmers might go, right, okay, I'll go back and vote for my party again if I know they're not going to go in with the Greens. That's just one example. I don't know, maybe it will make a difference. The Irish Farmers Journal: revenue has confirmed that farmers can no longer claim the 23% VAT refund for key farm equipment. Automatic scrapers, additional milking units, bulk tanks in existing buildings, automatic calf feeders and small feed bins have been deemed ineligible. On Tuesday, it issued long-awaited updated guidance on eligible and ineligible items for the purpose of a VAT refund. The updated guidelines means that some fixed equipment in farm buildings, which farmers have previously been refunded for, is no longer eligible. The move means an additional cost of 23% on some investments. Wow, big changes there if you were just about to update your equipment or add to it. The Sun this morning, and it's in all the papers: last month was the warmest May on record in Ireland, weather experts have announced. The average temperature topped 13 degrees Celsius, while the highest figure recorded was 24.6, taken at Mount Dillon, County Roscommon, on May 20th. The previous warmest May was in 2008, with an average of 13.03. Well, oh, second, maybe my eyes have gone. All right, okay. But Met Aaron said this time around the average was 13.08. Okay, I get you. It is only the second time in 125 years that the average temperature for May has risen beyond 13. Its climate statement shows that 13 weather stations across the country had the warmest May on record. The highest average temperature was 13.6 at Phoenix Park in Dublin. Matarin added that the month was very, very mild, but also quite dull overall, with sunshine values that were below average. There is figures specific for Malin. I might dig them out a little later on. On to the Irish Star now, and jailed teacher Enoch Burke's family has urged Taoiseach Simon Harris to send the guards to their home following an incident in Mayo last weekend. Video captured by the Star last Sunday showed Mr. Burke's family, including his father Sean, interrupting two different canvasses with the Taoiseach and Fine Gael's candidate Maria Walsh in Castlebar and Westport. And it was just very difficult to watch. Just the running around. I presume normally when you're canvassing, you don't move at that speed. But the Taoiseach, you know, literally like half a jog and then shoving his head and hand in a car and on to the next thing and what have you. That being said, very difficult to do anything with three or four people screaming at you. The family attempted to ask them about Enoch Burke, who remains in prison after a dispute following his refusal to purge his contempt. He was fired from Wilson's Hospital School last year over his refusal to refer to a transgender student by a new name and pronouns. That's not actually really why he was suspended, but anyway. Mr. Burke's family shared footage they had filmed in Castlebar on Sunday on social media platform X. And finally, very sad news. A talented amateur gardener who won RTE's Super Garden TV show, and many of you may have been watching that, well, he passed away just days after he scooped the top prize. Thousands of visitors to Bloom last weekend saw the garden created by Kildare man John Dooley. He'd been too modest to enter himself and had been put forward for the show by his wife Liz. However, yesterday it was announced he'd passed away suddenly. An online notice on RIP said the death has occurred of John Dooley of Kildare, deeply regretted by his loving wife Liz, brother's sister, sisters-in-law, brothers-in-law, nieces. Funeral details are expected to be released shortly, but many of you may have watched that or followed that. And I know there's a huge love of garden and natures and those types of shows. So I thought I'd bring that very sad news to you. May you rest in peace, and best wishes to Liz and the rest of the family. I don't know them personally, but it just seems very sad that they probably were just on such a high after his recent success, and then just like that, unfortunately, he is gone. Very sad indeed. Now, if you're listening to the programme yesterday, just around about this time, we were speaking to Disabilities Minister Anne Rabbitt. She was talking to us ahead of a visit to Donegal, and she was very pleased to be making a significant announcement from the No Barriers Foundation, and that organisation itself benefited to the tune of £3 million, just over £3 million. I'll get to the figure in a second. Finn Valley Leisure Centre receives €34,000. Health Hub Professional, Professionals NI, €302,000 and change. That's a cross-border service. And Spree Agus Sport, €210,000. And she was quite pleased to be making such an announcement at the No Barriers Foundation. It was funding for Donegal services to support children with disabilities. And I tried to get out of her how much she was announcing for No Barriers Foundation. She says, well, Johnny will have to tell you that. She was talking of Johnny Lochry, who is a physiotherapist and founder and CEO at the No Barriers Foundation. And he is in studio with us now. Good morning, Johnny.
Morning, Greg.
Thank you very much for joining us. And we also have Andrea McFeely, who's clinical lead at No Barriers. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks very much for calling in. Johnny, if you don't mind, I would just like to start from the beginning here and talk about the No Barriers Foundation. When was it established? And I know we've done some of this before, right? Yeah. But for some people, they'll be hearing of it for the first time, and they might be quite interested in the services that's offered. So talk to us about the No Barriers Foundation.
Yes, the No Barriers Foundation basically was born out of necessity. So I would have just been seeing locally, I suppose people really needed help and support and services, and just felt that maybe the infrastructure wasn't there. So in 2016, I had set up the No Barriers Foundation as a CLG. Myself and I persuaded my mother to come on as a director and co-sign onto the organisation. So we set up initially. Our first kind of goal, I suppose, was to get an exoskeleton for people with different levels of paralysis to be able to walk and rehabilitate while they were wearing the suit. But in the process of doing that, we had, I suppose, created a plan and an idea in around building a whole health facility that was community inclusive, and where people were exercising and rehabilitating side by side. So that was kind of the dream at the time. We fundraised, got European Leader funding, and in 2018 we got our first robotic suit. And then we've just been really building since then. So now the organisation currently has 26 employees. We deliver physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech and language, psychotherapy, but we do it in a community gym environment for the adult services. And the idea is that people that need the help and support can get the help and support they need from specialist staff, but that they don't feel it's a medical setting. So they're exercising and rehabilitating side by side with other people within the community. So I suppose that was the adult formula initially, and through demand we started, providing some paediatric services. We were really, really fortunate to get a really good paediatric specialist on the team here, Andrea, who's sitting beside me here. And we, had the dream of replicating what we do for adults, but in a paediatric setting.
And Andrew, can you talk to me about that? If someone comes to your service, you know, what happens or what's offered to them, or how do they develop?
Okay. Well, hi, Greg. Well, Greg, we're in the very early stages of looking at building and developing and delivering a service alongside the HSE. And again, we are really grateful to the HSE for this opportunity to work together and look at what are the needs of the families, what are the needs of the children in Donegal right now, especially those who are on waiting lists. So, you know, we're in the very early stages. We're looking forward to sitting down with the HSE from next week onwards.
What do you think it might look like then, I suppose?
Well, we would like to bring together specialists, as Johnny said, from our multidisciplinary teams, you know, so our specialists with expert knowledge in occupational therapy, physiotherapy, speech and language therapy. We're very keen to have psychology on board, input from play therapy, and then link in with our specialists in the community setting. As Johnny said, that's at the core of No Barriers, bringing this into a community setting.
Yeah. So is there crossover here between other services? Or I mean, obviously we're going to try and avoid duplication, but I just want maybe particularly parents of children that may end up being available of these services to sort of get an indication if it is for them or will be for them.
Yeah, I suppose we only even found out there just
yesterday
about this.
This is all very fresh.
I suppose our application and what No Barriers does is we look at the person in front of us and we build a service around that. And in this situation, it's going to be looking at the child in front of us, but also the family, you know, as well. One of the big strengths about No Barriers is we're very agile as an organisation. So we're not constrained by a lot of red tape. If we feel a service needs to be delivered in a certain way, we do it in the best interest of the person in front of us. So Andrea was saying we'll have all these specialist services, but I suppose we want to build it into an environment and community that really looks after the person in front of us. We know that we put in an application back in November time. We know it was a very ambitious application, but we, you know, dream big and No Barriers. And what we felt we were putting on paper was something that would make, you know, a real meaningful difference within the community.
Well, and the minister and those making the decisions believe that too, because they have the faith in the foundation that, you know, what you are doing and what you will be doing can be a template to be rolled out across the country.
Yeah, I mean, we're hugely thankful.
So
to,
no pressure.
Yeah, we're hugely thankful to Minister Rabbit and the HSE for trusting us with this. You know, we do, I suppose, pride ourselves on being innovative. And, you know, as well as the service delivery, you know, we have a very, I suppose, ambitious and proactive and positive team. So what we'll be doing is actively seeking grants and fundraising to make sure that we have world-class equipment in this facility as well.
Yeah.
So we'll have the staff and the team that are looking after the individual in front of us, but we won't stop there. We're going to be looking at getting the best of the best in terms of paediatric equipment into the facility as well. So,
And how will you be funded ongoing?
Well, this currently would be a 3-year agreement with the HSE.
So it'll be reviewed after that then, so okay, yeah, right, yeah. Brilliant. So you have a bit of space to sort of start working on this, which is fantastic. Is recruitment an issue? Like, in other words, finding the right people with the right skill set to fit into the team, is that a challenge? It's always a challenge, or I don't know. Well,
yeah, like recruitment's always a challenge, even on the adult services side. So, you know, one of the things here is that we're, again, just finding out the news yesterday, but we'll have to build a team, you know, in around this service. Recruitment is an issue, but I suppose whenever you look at what makes people tick and what they want out of life, you know, I think that health professionals generally would be excited about the approach that No Barriers takes. So as well as kind of getting paid a, you know, a wage and a salary at the end of the week, I think people want to feel as if what they're doing day to day is making a meaningful difference to people's lives. You know, No Barriers is a very exciting organisation that does things in a different way. So we'd be hoping that people can see that, and we'll get the, you know, we're I suppose, going to be pitching to make sure that we get the best people in around this service.
So at the moment, No Barriers primarily works with adults?
Yeah, we do offer
No,
I was just saying we do offer some paediatric services, but obviously not to the scale that has just been
so announced. This is really adapting the winning formula and adding to it or whatever for younger people, Andrea?
Yes, Greg, and really bringing in that strong multidisciplinary team approach, you know, and as Johnny said, you know, combining that with, you know, our formula at No Barriers, looking at that within the community setting, looking at what's, you know, meaningful to people, what's meaningful to children, and giving them the opportunities to best develop their skills, like, you know, across all areas between home and preschool and school, and then, you know, integrating into different areas across the board.
And I mean, look, you do this all of the time, Johnny, but I'm trying to sort of make sure that I and the listener understands, especially, you know, a mum or dad with a child with additional needs or may benefit from this, like what is going to be there, how it might be accessed, you know, how many people you might be able to work with. And I do understand you only got this announcement yesterday and it's a work in progress. But is it easy for you to sort of paint that picture for us?
There's going to have to be a lot of conversations now, because really, just even yesterday evening, we were just talking to Dale Quinn, the head of Disability Services, and really over the course of the next week, we're going to have to start, you know, arranging meetings and discussing, you know, everything you've just said there. I mean, probably what I feel going forward is that, you know, No Barriers, even currently, we're a social enterprise, we're a registered charity, but what we strive to do is to make sure that a service exists where no service currently exists. So what we'd be looking to do is to be linking in with the HSE, seeing how we can work collaboratively and support the CDNTs.
Okay.
But we would also, in a wider remit, be looking to see if we can deliver services, even if we have to charge for something that we're delivering outside of that CDNT waitlist. We'll be trying to provide services, you know, as cheap as we possibly can. So I suppose our goal is to give children and families in Donegal access to services.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll have our, I suppose, HSE funded caseload there, but we'll be seeing, you know, how can we support the people that you know, or maybe on the wait list and can't access services but want to be seen sooner. So,
Will all of this be Letterkenny based? Obviously, that's where your base is at the moment. But it would be providing services for young people throughout the county, Andrea. But I mean, obviously, it's a specific model, and it has to be in a specific place, I presume.
Well, Greg, I know that, again, as I said, we're in very initial talks with the HSE.
I feel like we're kind of thrashing it out at the moment.
Yeah,
but this is the nature. It's actually quite exciting, isn't it, that we're getting access to these early on, and I think the listeners understand that.
Yeah. So, well, we do know that CDNT services are, you know, across Donegal. So, again, when we sit down to talk with the HSE next week, we'll be very keen to, you know, to the best of our ability and what's within our capacity to support all CDNT teams across Donegal. Yeah. But again, we're in the very initial stages of that discussion.
Yeah.
Our location at this point in time, we will be looking for you know, a building that's suitable to a paediatric service. So again, you know, we're just looking, we're opening the page of chapter one right now, and we're going to see, you know, what can we find that's the best that
because
can lead
what we can
a,
have full faith
really
in what you can do
service.
Because of what you've achieved at, you know, particularly for adults in the No Barriers Foundation. So, so just one final question in that. Do you see a situation maybe where the CDNT teams might refer people to this service once it's established, or maybe people might come to this service off the list without seeing a CDNT specialist, if you know what I mean? Or is that still all to be worked out?
Well, as you say, it's all to be worked out. Yeah. And again, you know, we're really keen to sit down with Adele. It was brilliant having her on site yesterday, but we didn't get into the nitty gritty.
But, you know, I think that's really great because you are going to be able to sort of liaise with all the various experts in it. And you said the experts in what you do, and then bring it all together to match services to needs and stuff. So I think it's actually an exciting time at the beginning.
It's
it means not every question can be answered, but that's a good thing because we've an opportunity now to just get something as good as is possible. And as the minister pointed to, that she has the faith in seeing this as being a model that could be, you know, employed elsewhere. A complete shock then, Johnny, was it? You got no indication that.
Yeah, no, we were over the moon. As I say, we had submitted an application last November time, and we were waiting and thinking, you know, maybe, you know, we hadn't heard back, obviously, but no, we were absolutely over the moon to get the news. And I suppose for us, it's a hugely exciting time because we can, you know, there's 3.1 million that's going to kids and families in Donegal, and that's, I suppose, what we're so excited about is that. We know that families out there, you know, need help and are struggling a wee bit, and we have a really exciting opportunity here to try and make a difference and help people in the community.
Yeah,
we know that it has been very stressful for families and accessing services. So, you know, again, we can see that the HSC are really trying to, you know, support that, and by, you know, bringing us on board to partner with them, we're really excited about that. But again, we will be putting the children and the families of Donegal at the centre of this going forward.
I think that's why I've kind of been on eggshells asking the questions, because I want to sort of, you know, give hope where hope's there, but not raise expectations where it's not. But we're in such an early part of it, really.
Yes.
That's where we're at. Exciting. I'm looking forward to hopefully speaking to you along the journey. Because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, well, thank we'd be delighted to come on any time. Yeah.
All right. Anything you want to add before we wrap up? Bottom line is it's a fantastic announcement, as you mentioned, 3.1 million. And off the back of that, children from across our county are going to benefit from services being developed by the No Barriers Foundation. And this is under the HSC's Children's Disability Grant Fund. So, as I say, exciting times ahead.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. And part of the minister's announcement as well, as I mentioned, was the Finn Valley Leisure Centre receiving €34,000. This is to offer swimming lessons specifically designed for people with Down syndrome, autism, cerebral palsy and spina bifida. Health Hub Professionals Northern Ireland was allocated €302,000 to provide physiotherapy, speech and language therapy and occupational hand therapy with splinters. Splinting services for children with disabilities living in Donegal. Spriaga Sport secured €210,000, and that's to develop a more extensive and comprehensive package of play, music, art therapy services for children and young people with disabilities in Inishowen. Right, okay. We'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after the break. Delighted, says a listener, that No Barriers has received this funding from Minister Anne Rabbitt. This is excellent news for children and for the parents. Well done to HSC and all involved. Other comments here. Mr. Enoch Burke was trying to, in effect, stop potential child sexual abuse by grooming and its acceptance by ruling education elites. That's, it's a deep dive into his motivations, but if that's your view, no problem. Enoch went against the woke philosophy of a corrupt judicial system and has been unjustly imprisoned for almost a full year now. Well, he can walk out of that prison right now if he just commits not to go back to that school. And stand outside it, and he can be at home with his family before lunchtime. Taoiseach Simon Harris wants to know nothing about Enoch Burke because Simon Harris does not believe in any sense of justice and now should stand down as Taoiseach since he was never directly elected by the Irish people to run the country. We don't directly elect any Taoiseach, but I take your point. Hi, Greg. Maybe with the election coming up, you could find Excuse me. I'll come back to that. If the fire brigade thinks the traffic in Letterkenny is bad now, wait until the Donegal rally starts, as it will take over an hour to get out or into the town. I just, you know, this is a program where I'm allowed to sort of express something of an opinion. It's not like you do a news bulletin. It's a current affairs magazine show. I have that latitude. I'm very frustrated and find it quite annoying that well in excess of 10 million, twice as much as was supposed to be spent, was spent on that road. And God forbid it was someone close to me that was coming down Lurgy Brack and it's bumper to bumper into the Polestar roundabout, and every second counts in an emergency. And the fact that there is no plan or provision to allow an emergency vehicle to access Letterkenny up that road, for me, is just mind-blowing. Like, I find it absolutely mind-blowing. But that is what it is. Right, OK. Let's speak now to Stephen Cahill, Chair of the Flag Scheme in Donegal. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Oh, hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you keeping?
All the best, Greg. Working away.
Good stuff.
The usual.
Yep. Just remind people of the Flag Scheme, Stephen.
Well, basically, Flags was a scheme brought in. I think it really initiated on the back of the fact that they stopped inshore fishermen. So the EU came up with a formula that would have to try and accommodate them, these people, in some form or other. And the reason I think that mainly is because you only can get funding from Flags if you're within 7 miles of the sea. So Flags was brought in a number of, you know, basically 15 years ago now, and basically there's 7 flag groups in Ireland. There's one in the north, which is the Donegal, and there's one in the northwest, which is Mayo and Sligo area, and there's 7 in total, and they are funded in different EU programs every 5 years, and the group are made up of community people from various aspects, particularly people from fishing. Also, the state bodies are there, the councillor on the board, the leader groups are on the board, others are on the board. And basically, our board in Donegal is 18 people. And when funding becomes available, we meet and we discuss the applications that come in, and we fund as much as we can. And I particularly like the fact that we're linked in with all the other state or semi-state bodies there, because we also, what I particularly like is where we see somebody having a good idea or something where they can't get funding, and if they apply to us, we will try our best to get them funding. And we've been very successful in the North Flag and funding substantial projects, on whether it was glamping, whether it's a childcare centre, whether it's something to do with inshore fishing boats or even piers. And then we've helped, you know, small piers have been refurbished or redone, and like people say, "Ah, well, that's council work, but it'll never be done." So, like, it's great to have a linkage that these things will be done, and we work very hard. And you know, the new program is not coming into play, unfortunately, until September.
We'll come to that if you don't mind, Stephen, because the reason we invited you on, and thank you as always for accepting the invite, is we got a call about the Flag Scheme being pushed back for the third time this year. In allowances being given out. They said it would now be September before community groups and festivals would know if they got anything. This was to be in March to allow planning, then June. Now it's September and the summer season will be over. Groups like us running small events that have included this money will now not have it in time. The fund was announced, yet it's very slow in coming. So this sounds like a project that was approved. They thought it was going, money might have been available. Now, correct me when I'm wrong, Stephen. They thought it was going to be on stream for the summer, but now it's going to be September. So do you get the point? Do you agree with it? Or?
Just to clarify, the program, the present program, is a 24 to 29 program, 5-year program. There's basically 240 odd million allocated to fishing in Ireland under this program, EMFAF program, they call it. And what happens there is that 240 million is distributed among about nine different groups, whether it's inshore fishing, whether it's processing, whether it's surveillance, and there's Flags. Now, then these things move very slow. Yeah. We would have liked to have this going at the start of 2024, but of course, the powers that be and the structures that take their time. And the department and the EU and the government in general have sort of prioritised that the 240, how does it be distributed? We're going to get 15.6 million for over a five-year programme, which is about half a million a year for us and Donegal. But the thing is, the slowness, it's not going to happen to October, so the reality is we can't do much about it. That's the way the system works. They have allocated funding to prioritise fishing because, of course, it came from initial fishing programme, so they're prioritising other aspects of fishing. We seem to be at the end of the line, and the reality is, look, you know, the programme's not in place until October. September, October. So, you know, it wouldn't be practical to consider it for funding this year because it's not there and it's not officially in place. Some of the boards are not even put together and around the country. We're lucky in Donegal. We've a great board, an excellent board, a very, very positive, strong board and are very pro-Donegal. Like, if you look at the last program we had, which was a kind of different program, was under the bar funding, and there's 25 million allocated for the, I think it's the year 22 or 23, and we were allocated 2.5 million. Now Donegal and our board spent 3.5 million, where the rest of the country spent less than a million, and it was quite embarrassing. I was at a conference yesterday of the flags, and they were saying, how did you do it in Donegal? But you know me, Greg, my simple philosophy, if we can get it for Donegal, Donegal.
Okay.
And why? Because we don't get a lot up here, so yeah. We might as well work on it.
And I suppose that was a bumper year, really, and I suppose shouldn't be used as the bar. Exactly. So really, people, recipients, or those maybe who have been, you can't really count on this money until it's just available and it's being issued, really, isn't it?
That's it, because even, Greg, I'm not even sure of the criteria, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not certain we could even fund festivals. We don't know, because it's like talking about a grant to thatch your house that's supposed to come out. If it's not there, until it's in place, you can't actually function it. So, sadly, this year, as far as I'm concerned, is out the way it's running, you know. But, the money will not be diluted. We will, you know, our money, look, it'll be amalgamating it with next year anyway. But the way I see it, and the way these programmes work in the EU, it's a five-year programme. The first year is preparation. They just don't seem to get it together until nearly the second year. So I would have seen this as the way it's going to happen, unfortunately. Yeah. It doesn't mean nobody more than myself loves to get assisting with festivals if possible, but it's just not, can't be factored in this year,
and
unfortunately.
And there's no guarantees, okay. And it just means there might be a little bit more available next year, because sort of this year will roll into next year. But it is a five-year programme, but it's not necessarily over 5 years. Okay, Stephen, listen, couldn't be any clearer.
That's the way it is, Greg. Yeah,
Stephen McCahill, as always, love. How's everyone in Ardra? All going well?
Oh, going fine. Oh, yeah, we're working away around various festivals, and we had a cup of tea, and it was fantastic. So
we'll keep at it. That's one I haven't got to yet, actually. I'd love to get down to
that. Oh, you must get to that one. That's it. It's one of the unique ones, because the focus is really not on it's on street music, and we never had more buskers on the street. Young kids, brilliant to see them, and brilliant to see that attitude of going out there and playing music. And that's what it should be, spontaneous, and that's what music's about.
Yep. Okay. Lovely to chat to you as always, Stephen. That's Stephen McGahill there, chair of the flag scheme in Donegal. Just read outlining that it's a 5-year programme. Things can move slowly, and really year one will run into year two, because year one is about sort of establishing criteria and all that kind of stuff too. But that means, I suppose, for 2025, hopefully Donegal then will have an even better percentage of those funds that are available. More of your comments here. So sorry to hear about John from the garden programme passing away. He came across as such a lovely down-to-earth person. He and his lovely wife, Liz, were so delighted to get to bloom. Thanks for giving it a mention, because a lot of people would have knew him from the programme, and that's exactly why I did. Are there any physio services for adults who cannot get to Letterkenny? Any physio in the community for people in the county? Any information in that regard, please pass it on. In relation to the dog question, maybe owners of these dangerous breeds should have to register their dogs to the Garda and pay a much higher licence fee and make sure this is enforced. Enforcement is a problem in this country, though, but yeah, it could be could be an option. Regarding the weather, it was the warmest May in years. Every night and morning has been cold. I disagree that it was warm. It's an average. I get where you're coming from. That's the weather that we're talking about. You wake up and it's like, ooh, it's chilly. But across the country, 13.08 is a record high average. There are three calves in Solomon's Court. If anyone's lost them, okay, there's a specific house there. I'd be just reluctant to read that out on air, but we can pass that on to whoever needs it. Right, okay. Any election questions, by the way, about voting and not who to vote for, but just have you any uncertainty? Do you want to vote tomorrow, but you're not sure? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. We'll try and get answers for you and help as much as possible. And, you know, it could be any, and it could be the simplest of questions, because for a lot of people, maybe they've never voted before, or it's something new to them. There's no question that's too, in inverted commas, silly. So if you do have any questions about voting tomorrow, as I say, get in touch with us. We'll try and get answers, because I am aware, and I've just noted a few coming in here, that people are just a little bit unsure. So if you do have any questions, I'll try my best to get answers for you. But we're going to take a break now for the news and obituary notices. We've got loads more coming up on the 9 till noon show. So we'll be back with you a little later on.